Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Red Zone on Cards Radio 790 KRD, fueled by Thornton's.
Holy crap. I don't know who the hell we think we are.
My wife can score more than two buckets on 11 shots.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
They're supposed to be mature adults, but they're really not. Who's the kid here? Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me?
Now here's your host, Nick Coffey.
All right, let's do this. Good morning and welcome in. Happy Tuesday. You are now in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD. We are fueled by Thornton's. My name is Nick Coffey. If you didn't know that, doesn't hurt my feelings. Hurts my ego a little bit. But
Rick? Is it Rick?
Rick has not made... Man, I forgot about Rick. Rick has been MIA for quite some time. Makes me kind of sad. For those who don't know, Rick is my alter ego. It's when I turn into a... How would you describe Rick, Matt? I'll let you do it.
I've never met Rick. Somebody else would have to describe him. I've never met him.
Now, you know what? You're right. You've never had the privilege.
I've never met Rick.
You would not like Rick.
I wouldn't.
All. Oh, no. You would. In fact, I'm happy to know you have never met Rick.
Okay.
Because Rick is... Rick's drunk Nick. I mean, let's just be real. That's what it is. There's no in-between. It's drunk Nick. And I guess there's levels of Rick. And even like the mild Rick is just like if we
Mick,
were, what's that?
Mick?
No. Mick would be no.
Mick is not mild Rick.
I guess it could be.
Yeah.
But then you know people will do the Mick Cronin thing, and I don't like that.
Oh, I thought his name was Mike Cronin.
That's true.
Yeah.
But even mild Rick, Mick, if you want, would be like if we were talking, I would. Like, probably put my hand around you. Mm. I'd probably, like, you know, just tell you, hey, Matt, you're the best, man. Like, I'm that guy. When I drink, I become...
Sounds so bad. Somebody finally saying something nice to me.
Well, you don't like... You like your personal space.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
You like your personal space, and I'm just all in the middle, and I talk a lot. I mean, hell, I talk a lot every
morning. Well,
imagine...
Does any version of you not?
That's a good point. Actually, no, I'll be honest with you. I'm not as... If it's somebody, well, I'm not outgoing that'll just go and start chatting with people I don't know. In fact,
that
hurts me sometimes professionally because I don't think I come off as unapproachable, but I've been told I have by people, you know, not like they have an issue with me, but they just don't see me as the most approachable because I'm not outgoing.
You're not Vanetti.
Exactly. So that's why
we'll go talk to Mercedes and
absolutely
ask her how she's doing today.
That's right. So, and I've always said, like, I've been asked a couple of times to, like, MC an event for, like, charities and stuff or go read to kids at a school. And I could do that because that's.
But, you know, screw those kids.
I could do that, but it's. It actually did it once, but it's just that's a different situation. But, like, MCing an event or talking in public. It's just not me. Like, yeah. I can't do it. Tony is made for that.
I would really like to see it get a shot of you holding a book open at story time for children.
I've done it.
Well, let's get the photo op.
I mean, I don't know why any school would want me. I don't know what I bring to the table, but...
All sorts of personality when you're reading. I mean, do the voices? Do you do the voices?
Oh, no. It was in 2015. I read to a elementary school in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And it was a fun experience. I don't remember the book I read, but it was...
In elementary school. So these kids... Okay. So I think in about 4 years, we're going to see some real bright children.
What would I do at a middle school? They'd throw stuff at me. Middle school kids are the
meanest. I'm just saying. I'm expecting these children, when they graduate high school, to make some noise.
All right. So I get it mixed up. What is an introvert?
That's someone who is more reserved.
That's what I am. I'm an introvert.
Doesn't... Okay.
I'm shy.
And said the talk radio host.
But that's the thing. When I'm in, I'll put it this way.
Everybody likes to think of themselves as an introvert.
No.
Even if they aren't.
Why do you think I talk like this on remotes? Do I not do that?
I don't know. A little bit.
Yeah, because I don't like to make, I don't like to command the attention in person. Yeah. I'm not a flamboyant person. I'm not, but in this room, I'm just by myself. Mm-hmm. It's just me and you here. Just us.
Right.
So, you know, I think I've shared this story before. Maybe some of you haven't heard it. Years ago, my cousin Paul got married, and I showed up to his wedding in Ohio, and it was when I arrived, he told me I was going to MC the reception. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And he's a close cousin of mine. I grew up with him. He just assumed, well, why not? I mean, it was a small wedding, so it wasn't like it was a humongous crowd. But still, there were more people at the reception than the wedding. And I told him, like, I don't do this. He's like, you talk on the radio every day. And I said, that's literally an entirely different situation. And I don't even think it needs to be explained. I think it's rather obvious how different that is than speaking in front of a big, you know, crowd or something. So anyways, Rick becomes a little more, I guess, open to talking and chatting. But even at that point, I still don't walk up and talk to strangers or anything like that. So Rick is not here today, and Matt has never met Rick, and I'd like to keep it that way. I think our friendship is better off the Nick and Matt rather than Rick entering the chat, if you will. So anyways, you guys should stick with us here on a Tuesday morning because we're with you for the next 3 hours. It's just me. It's Matt. It's you guys. And we're going to have some fun today.
But a lot of sports, right?
Oh, yeah.
Big sports. Sports news.
I've got USFL power rankings unveil.
Where are the Maulers? Is there a Maulers?
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Maulers.
Where are they at?
Who don't play in Pittsburgh.
Why do they not play in Pittsburgh?
They all play in Birmingham.
What?
Did you know that?
No.
Every game.
No, they don't.
Or maybe every train. Yeah, look it up. Again,
No.
The USFL has been something I've told myself for the last few weeks I'm going to have to do get a little base knowledge and figure something out because it might come up. It's something different. Let's see how quickly it flops. But it's also been one of those things where I've been like, you know what? No, because it's not going to work. Nobody really cares. I've yet to talk to a person that watched any of the USFL. In fact, the most talked about thing is this made-for-TV clip that they're using for marketing where they cut a running back because they advised him to watch his diet and told him to order a chicken salad, and he ordered a pizza instead, so they fired him, and they videoed it, and now there's, like, controversy. He's claiming that's not really why he was fired or that's not really what happened. So but I'm pretty sure the USFL, like, I think they're playing all their games in the same city.
You're right. Yeah, I wonder why.
It's dumb.
I guess because of travel.
Yeah, they don't have any money. Yeah. There were like 13 people at the first game.
But is this league wasn't there some sort of situation with this league how they're going to maybe try and hook up with the NFL in terms of like an affiliation?
Yeah.
If that works, they don't need to be big.
Weren't they going to do like refs and stuff? Train refs and coaches?
If they end up being some sort of affiliated minor league.
It was going to be like a minor league for everything but players.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, I guess players could jump up, but like they know, like the NFL is not missing. There's not guys just hanging out, at least not many, that could really help an NFL roster that's not in the NFL or on a practice squad. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're good enough, they'll find you. So I'm sure there will be a few players that maybe get an opportunity after the USFL, just like the XFL. But yeah, anyways, there you go. That's what happens. USFL has now dominated the show the first 11 minutes. So I've got USFL power rankings. I've got thoughts on the first couple weeks of baseball. The Reds stink.
For now.
They did have a lead yesterday, but it didn't even last half of an inning.
Whatever.
The Yankees are off to their worst start in like a long time. And then I've got NBA playoff stuff to get to. I kid. We'll probably not get to much of that. But I do want to – can I ask you to make – and I mean this. You can turn on the sarcasm at times, but I'm genuinely asking for you to give me some feedback here.
Oh.
Look in this room. Look in the studio right now where I'm sitting.
Right now?
Describe the setting of this room right now.
The setting?
Describe the look.
Dark.
Fair. Anything else? Be harsh. It's messy.
Oh.
There's junk everywhere.
Well, it's cluttered.
Cluttered. Probably better.
It's cluttered. It's not messy implies like food stains.
No. Well, I got bottles here. I got like empty cans. That's not dirty.
It's cluttered. It's disorganized a little bit. A little.
Stuff. So like I was in here actually came in Sunday because I had to video something.
You're going to clean during the show? This is going to be the
No, no, no. I'm going to clean during the show. But I'm in here. I'm getting the camera situated. I had to record a commercial, and I'm just like, this studio is it's disgusting. There's stuff. There's junk everywhere. Why don't people throw things away? And I'm sitting here just thinking like, oh, my God, what is wrong with people? And you know what? I'm the only one. The only one who uses this studio, and I'm the only one who's used it for at least the last year. And all of it is mine. Every piece of cluttered junk is mine. So, like, I have no excuse to – I mean, look, it's
– so in the mirror.
I'm going to clean it up today. Not during the show, but afterwards. I'm going to straighten it up.
It is that time of year, spring cleaning.
Yeah. But, like, look at it. Look at this table.
Yeah.
I've got pills. I've got papers. I've got books. I've got keys. I've got mail. I've got bobbleheads. I've got a stapler. I've got a computer mouse. I have a medal for running a 5K. I've got a calendar.
Maybe you need to clean out all your hot sports takes from your brain today while you're cleaning the studio.
Well done. Does this TV work?
I have no idea. Why would I go in there?
I don't know.
I'm not allowed in there.
But look around.
I'm staff.
All of it is mine.
I'm not talent.
The only thing in here that I have that I will blame on somebody else is this has become the graveyard for broken chairs. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
We have so many broken chairs in this building, and they put them here to die in the KRD studios. And I mean, they got
to make sure you have a place to sit.
Yeah, I mean, I got. In fact, I don't even use a rolling chair. Everybody else does. But all the dead rolling chairs that are have a what do you call it? An armrest broken off of it,
or wheel missing?
A wheel missing, or something like that, or you know, a leg that's broken. They're all in here. So I'm going to move them somewhere else because we've got a ton of space. I can just. I mean, hell, I could this building for what we are now as a company, as far as our size of employees, and we're moving soon, and I don't want to move, but I am at least trying to be optimistic about a fresh start and a new environment. Although I do love this place, and it'll be sad when we leave, but I could move my family in here, Matt, and nobody'd know. There's not enough people. I could hide them out in five different places.
I don't know about that.
Well, Moose might get loose and run around, and that'd be people would wonder why is this.
Move your family in.
But think about it. I was walking around here Sunday by myself, the only one in this building, and it was kind of odd. And I'm just thinking, you've worked here a lot longer than I have. Have we ever fully used this space? Or at least close to it?
Yeah, I think so.
Think
it's
about
been
how
a
much
while.
Unused space is in here
there's
now.
There's a lot. There's some, yeah.
And what I think, and this is what's sad, and we'll move on and actually ramp up, get the show started here in a
more
moment.
USFL
but,
coming up.
Yeah, got the USFL Hang power rankings coming your way, folks. But now I forgot what I was going to say because I'm just so excited about talking USFL with you guys. Oh, what I was going to say is that we're all back to work now. Like, I don't know how many people are doing it, but Tuesday through Thursday, unless you're like doing your show remotely, every office, every department at iHeart Louisville is here, and it's like a third, maybe a fourth of what it was a few years ago. And that's just, you know, goes to show, you know, the way things
are
changing.
I do think some people have moved to working more from home.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. No, like sales, it's not an option to work from home on those days. They have to be here Tuesday through Thursday. Okay. So, anyways,
how many USFL teams can you name?
Oh, man, Pittsburgh Maulers, that's all I got.
That's it? Seriously, one team, that's
there's
it?
There's a Birmingham team, but I don't know their name.
You don't know Birmingham
Blaze?
No. You can't name any other team.
I was just asking. No, I can't.
Can you name any of the coaches other than you know who?
Jeff Fisher.
Other than Jeff Fisher.
Kevin Sumlin.
That's two.
Dick Vermeil.
No.
He's staffed somewhere.
Well, he's not a coach.
Let's see here.
All right, okay, let's do this. Birmingham. You don't know what their name is?
Mm-mm. Okay. You gonna tell me?
They're the Stallions.
Yeah.
Houston.
No clue.
They're the Gamblers.
See, you act like I should know these.
New Orleans.
The Ramblers. Is somebody the Ramblers?
No, nobody's the Ramblers.
Oh.
The Breakers. New Orleans Breakers.
You actually looked at me like I got it right.
This one you might get. The Tampa Bay. This is the South Division, by the way.
Tampa Bay Ballers.
Close. Bandits. Kind of close.
Both have a B.
This one. All right, I'm going to tell you this. Alabama.
Alabama Anchors.
No, no, don't do alliteration. This is a team of an they took the name of an NFL team. Alabama.
No clue.
For some reason, the Alabama Panthers.
That's so stupid.
That might be the dumbest
That's
one.
That's the dumbest.
That might be the dumbest one. New Jersey.
The Rockers.
Why?
Is that their name?
The Rockers?
I don't know.
No.
This is such a waste. I have no clue of any
generals.
Of these names.
Philadelphia. This one's dumb, too.
The Presidents.
Close. Although this one, I guess this one does make sense. The Philadelphia Stars.
Yeah, this is...
And then finally, the one you know, Pittsburgh.
The Maulers.
There you go. Good job.
Couldn't you just... I mean, if you're going to sell gear, like, whatever. But, like, couldn't... With this being such a waste of time that nobody asked for, the USFL, couldn't they just go by the city? Like, why do you need a mascot? We're Philadelphia of the USFL.
Because this isn't... Yeah, no.
The Alabama Panthers was not necessary.
No, that was... Nobody put any thought into that. There's somebody literally that's a Carolina Panthers fan that lives in Alabama that was just like, their kid was like, can we call them the Panthers? And they were like, yeah, we don't care. Call them the Panthers. It's fine.
Who's done a better job, for the most part, of naming teams and organizations than minor league baseball? Why are they so good at it? Because they have to be?
Yeah, but it's...
And not all of them are great, but a lot of them are.
Some of them are great, but some of them are, like, more cutesy.
And that's fine. Because they know who they are.
Yeah,
They're not trying too hard.
Yeah, but would you be a big fan if the Colts was, like...
No, because the Colts are a real team.
The Fancy Horses or some cutesy name. No. So are minor league baseball teams. They're real teams.
They don't care about winning. I mean, they do care. They're supposed to compete, but like, it's all about promotion and marketing.
It is, and that's why they can be cutesy with the names.
I bet if you go through...
You can't be cutesy with... You know, NFL teams.
Yeah. I don't know if this is something we do today, but every level, single A, double A, triple A, if you go through each division in each league, you know, I don't know if it's American, National, whatever it is, I bet you and I both would find one team name that we both think is like, all right, that's cool. Like, I'd love to see their logo. Maybe I'll get a, what do you mean?
In what league?
Any league.
Oh, in any league. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Any division of any minor league from single to
triple. Oh, minor
triple.
League baseball. Okay.
Yeah, because I just think they...
Yeah.
They're off the wall. And
They do a good job.
Yeah, they know who they are. All right. Let's what I want to do coming up here in a moment after we take a timeout is we got to talk about World Wide West. And I don't have any, like, breaking news to share about World Wide West because World Wide West is this mysterious figure that I'm just fascinated by. And why he has influence that he has, this is a man who is now employed by the New York Knicks. But, you know, I talked to a couple people yesterday, one of them being a current Power 5 Division I assistant coach. And I just said, hey, why are people flipping DJ Wagner's commitment to Louisville? What is it based off of? And they both said, because of World Wide West. And they did explain as to why he would... Because my question is, why does he care? What in the world would DJ Wagner going to Louisville, how would that benefit World Wide West? Why does he care? He's with the Knicks. And they gave me a legitimate answer that actually made a lot of sense. So I'm going to share that with you guys coming up here on the other side. And we need to talk about the Kentucky reaction because, look, Louisville hadn't landed a player yet. And they probably will today, by the way. We'll get to that later. But Louisville hasn't played a game. Kenny Payne hasn't coached a game. Kenny Payne hasn't even completed his staff. So nothing's really happened big picture. I think his staff moves up to this point appear to be good ones. But Kentucky fans, I don't know if they're getting jealous. I don't know what it is. But like Louisville fans are right now really excited and really showing a lot of optimism about the future because Kenny Payne is going to bring in players and these staff moves are just, it's got fans excited. And look, fans are always excited when there's something new, but I also think Kenny has given us some confidence early on here. And Kentucky fans are feeling a certain way about it. And I don't really know what to make of it. Like, I think they realized that for whatever reason, World Wide West helped them in ways that made them the cool school, with that the cool program, the cool factor, with the players they had, World Wide West having influence that led to Jay-Z coming to games, Lil Wayne. And now that appears to be what Louisville's going to benefit from. And I guess there's a little jealousy. I don't know. If you're a Kentucky fan, I mean, I'm sure you'll hit the text line and tell me how you're not worried and Loserville sucks. And, yeah, you know, I'm sure you'll defend yourself. But, like, for example, Matt Jones yesterday. I mean, he's calling out Louisville fans for the hypocrisy of you guys thought World Wide West was cheating, which he wasn't. Now he's with you. I mean, clearly, that's what fans do. You know what else? You know what else is funny to remind folks of? Bobby Petrino. Has Kentucky fans made fun of a Louisville coach more than Bobby Petrino? Maybe not. Rick Pitino, of course, they had their jokes with that, given the Karen Cypher stuff and Katina Powell. But, like, clearly, Kentucky fans hated Bobby Petrino. But you know what? When Joker Phillips sucked and Bobby Petrino was unemployed, Kentucky fans wanted Bobby to be their coach. How easy it is to forget that. So fans do this stuff. That's what fans do. So I get it. But I think in the end, what I noticed yesterday is the Kenny Payne and John Calipari relationship, I don't think will ever be sour. I don't think there'll ever be real animosity because those guys have a close and real relationship. It's almost like family. But the other things happening within Louisville's hirings and all that, and if Louisville starts competing for recruits and getting recruits over them, I guess what I'm trying to say is I worried about the rivalry, the heated hatred of the rivalry with Cal and Kenny Payne being the two coaches. But I really do think if Louisville's more competitive and they start competing for recruits and Louisville starts to steal some shine and maybe becomes the cool program more so than Kentucky, maybe the rivalry will be back on. And that has me excited. So again, we'll talk more about that coming up on the other side. If you want to text in, you can do it 502-653-0790. That is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. Again, we are fueled by Thornton. Stop in this morning. Get yourself some breakfast. Please get the sausage, egg, and cheese croissant and tell me how delicious it is. I can't have it. I'm on a strict diet. And I'm already down 6 pounds in a week. So that's the payoff. It's keeping me going. But I do miss that delicious breakfast menu that they've got at Thornton. So stop in. Have some coffee if you need that, iced coffee if that's your thing. Again, we're fueled by Thorns right here in the Red Zone on 790 KRD.
Remind me of a real short story. One hit, and you start that morning. Get ready, because this is it. Your crew is through, and we too legit to quit slaying.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union tax line at 502-653-0790.
All right, so I know I've got some listeners who are CDL drivers, truck drivers, and if you are looking for a new opportunity, I can tell you who's looking for you. Cisco. Right now, they are hiring CDL drivers with an amazing opportunity. $10,000 sign-on bonus, competitive starting pay. You're going to get full benefits, chances to grow within the company once you join. And it's a great local company to work for. So they are aggressively looking to build this team of drivers. And you can earn up to $80,000 a year, not to mention the $10,000 sign-on bonus. So what you need to do, you can go to Cisco.com, Cisco.com/careers. And get more information there, or you can just text jobs to 49798. Again, text the word jobs to 49798. That can get the process started for you. And look, if you don't have to have any experience either. Imagine you just became a certified driver. You have a CDL now, and you're looking to put it to use. Well, they don't require any experience, so earn up to $80,000. With no experience and a $10,000 sign-on bonus. I mean, hello. Think about that. I mean, literally, let that process. No experience, but if you have your CDL, and a lot of you are probably trying to obtain your CDL given what truck drivers are making right now and just given the demand for them. So, again, keep Cisco in mind. They've got a great opportunity. Go to Cisco.com/careers to get more information. All right, you are in the Red Zone. It's 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorns, check us out on the iHeartRadio app. You can also listen live at 790KRD.com. And just, I do have breaking news, by the way. Kentucky fans are not worried about Louisville. They've wanted, I mentioned that they seem to be maybe getting a little jealous that World Wide West potentially could bring the cool factor to Louisville just like he did Kentucky many years ago. But I've been alerted by BBN. No way Kentucky's jealous. And look, what would you be jealous of at this point? Nothing. Nothing's happened, right? But I think it's just the thought that if the move made by Kenny Payne to hire Justin Perez, the son of Roc Nation Brass, Jay-Z's agency. You guys know what that's a, and again, I'll go back to Matt Jones, your leader, Big Blue Jesus himself. That's a move Calipari would have made 10 years ago. And it would have been innovative. It would have been off the wall. It would have been, wow, this guy is, you know, he's just doing things differently. And are you jealous that Louisville has Justin Perez? Probably not. But it's just, if Kenny Payne brings in talent and Louisville doesn't win, oh yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be, if you get 3-4 years in and he's brought in a lot of really good players and you stink as a program, it's going to be a nightmare. And, you know, I don't believe that's going to happen, but I'm aware that that's like a possibility. So I'm not here to tell you Kentucky fans are jealous. But they're at least paying attention to the moves that Louisville's making, and I think they know that DJ Wagner is a real potential miss for them because they felt like they've had this guy forever. And I still think they probably are in the driver's seat to get him. But as we've discussed, there are people who are now predicting that he goes to Louisville and not Kentucky. And look, some of the guys predicting this are guys who write about U of L. So, like, I'm not, no offense, but I don't think that's the same thing. But when you've got national recruiting analysts like Travis Branham, and hell, a recruiting analyst who covers Duke made a prediction. There's guys that work for rivals that aren't affiliated with U of L or root for U of L that are now flipping him to Louisville. And yesterday I said, I just think they, because the question I kept asking yesterday is, what changed? Like, why on Friday did it become the day that everybody started to just say, you know what, I think he's going to Louisville? Like, what has changed? And I said yesterday, I believe that some of these people assumed the hire that was about to be made by Kenny Payne was Milt Wagner, and that just meant, well, sure, then sure enough, then that's going to give Louisville the edge because Grandpa's on the staff. And I kind of called BS on that. I kind of called people out, not like on a personal level, but like, I think they just assumed it was Milt, like a lot of people did, myself included, and they just wanted to be out. And maybe they probably didn't realize the wildfire that would spread from this because, I mean, DJ Wagner's that flip of the crystal ball got way more attention than it deserved and way more attention than I think anybody anticipated. But that just goes to show you what this recruitment's going to be. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be like DJ Wagner. Somebody asked me this yesterday, and I can't give you an answer on the Kentucky side, but the question was, will DJ Wagner be the most talked about recruit for Louisville or Kentucky that one of them didn't get? You know what I mean? Like a recruit that you really lock in on. You spend, I mean, hell, we talk about it on a platform like this nonstop, and the kid hadn't even committed yet. But it's such a huge recruit for your program, and you're on the edge of your seat hoping and praying he picks your school. Like, could he be the most talked about recruit that one of us doesn't land? And for Louisville, I really don't know the answer to that either. I'm sure there were others. I mean, I'm sure there's been plenty of guys talked about even before I was around. But for Kentucky, I have to think he's not because, I mean, let's be real, they've been swimming in these waters for quite some time. They've had top players in America considering them, and they've landed a lot of them. Here recently, not as much. And in fact, some of the top players aren't considering them like they used to, but they still do all right in recruiting, last I checked. So anyways, my question was, you know, what's changed? And I reached out to a former Power 5 assistant coach who's probably going to be hired somewhere soon, and then a current assistant coach that's employed elsewhere within the Power 5 in college basketball. And I just said, hey, any idea as to what's changed here? You mind me asking? Can you fill me in? And because then I told them my theory is that I thought people just assumed it was going to be Milt, and that's why they guessed. And one person told me that could be it, but just know, and that's word for word what they said, just know Wes wants to see DJ at Louisville, and you can never count out his influence. And I said, okay, but like, why does he care? Look, if World Wide Wes is going to help Louisville and DJ Wagner, I'll give World Wide Wes a big old hug. I don't think he'd want that, and he might have security, but like, I'm all for it. But I'm just genuinely curious, why does he care? And then it was explained to me that World Wide West has a, you know, personal connection to Louisville. So World Wide West, I feel really weird calling it, there's a lot of W's there. I feel really weird calling a grown man that. But nonetheless, William Wesley, this is a guy who, before he was worldwide, before he was this super connected guy that was linked to Allen Iverson, to Michael Jordan, to LeBron James. I mean, he's now currently employed by the Knicks as an advisor, but he was a consultant for the CAA, the Creative Arts Agency, one of the biggest agencies in the world that represents some of the most famous people on planet Earth. So, like, before he was anything of that, he was best friends with Milt Wagner growing up. Also became best friends with Billy Thompson. And those guys went to Louisville. So before World Wide West was worldwide, he was a Louisville fan because his friends went to U of L. And then, of course, he just kind of networked. And hell, it was Milt Wagner who introduced him apparently to Michael Jordan that really got the ball rolling for West to become this figure, this super big celebrity that's a mysterious figure that nobody really knows what he does, but he seems to know everybody and have a lot of influence on everything, including college basketball. So, you know, I don't want to say he's a Louisville fan, but he could end up being an ambassador for U of L because I think he wants to see Kenny Payne do well. Kenny Payne, of course, is like a brother to him. So the investment is a personal thing. Like, he's not going to get a check. He's not going to be on the staff at U of L. He's not angling to get a job. But he wants to see these guys at U of L do well because it's personal. And I still think the Calipari-DeJuan / DJ relationship is something that is so strong. It's like family. He's known DJ since he was a baby. Like, I still think that's going to be it's going to be hard to overcome. But World Wide West, again, I'll go back to what John Calipari said. After Kentucky won the championship in 2012, shortly after winning it, Cal thanked World Wide West and said, quote, "West is a goodwill ambassador to our program." So keep in mind, who did Nolan Smith shout out when he got hired? World Wide West. Danny Manning, what did he say on Friday? Well, there really wasn't a whole lot of communication between him and Kenny Payne directly about the job. They did talk briefly, but wasn't a whole lot of talk. You know why? Because he was talking to other people. You know who that might have been? William Wesley. So anyways, I don't know what he does. I find him to be very mysterious. Again, he's currently an advisor for the Knicks, so he has a job, but if he really does want to see Louisville do well and he wants to see Kenny Payne land top players and he wants to see Louisville back on top in college basketball, it certainly seems as if he's a guy that can help you. And look, you know, connect the dots. If anybody who thinks like this is all just a talking point for radio and that William Wesley will have no influence on any of this, it's nonsense, you're just wrong. I mean, look at who Kenny Payne just hired to be the director of ops. Jay-Z's Rock Nation agency, the CEO, their son. Like, that's a connection. It is. And Jay-Z has shouted out William Wesley in a song. So is Drake. Like, this guy he's mysterious. And yes, Louisville fans for a long time thought he was shady and said he was a cheater. But let's be real. At that point, if he was influential with, like, NIL deals, well, that wasn't legal then. And I'm not even saying they were. If Kentucky was cheating, we would have found out, I think. I'm not insinuating that they were clearly on the up and up because there's probably been some shady stuff going on everywhere for a long time. But, like, now NIL is, in fact, something you can do. And Louisville can benefit from it like everybody else. But if William Wesley is influential as everybody thinks he is, maybe they'll benefit from it more than others. Fascinating stuff. All right, quick timeout. We are going to talk some Kentucky Derby coming up here on the other side. We got a big event coming up here soon for WHAS, where you can go learn about the Derby horses and get your picks from the experts at Mike Lennings. We'll get you set for all that coming up here on the other side. Stick around right here. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thorns here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
All right, we are now 1 week away from the annual 840 WHAS Derby Betting Preview Night. It'll be next Tuesday at Mike Lennox, which, man, again, I'm on a diet, but that fish at Mike Lennox, just my mouth's watering thinking about it. But you guys aren't on a diet, I don't think. And even if you are, go out there and even if you don't want to eat there, which I don't know why you wouldn't, you can get all the info you need when it comes to betting on this year's Kentucky Derby. So you can join Jody Dimling and other racing experts at the fourth annual 840 WHAS Derby Betting Preview Night presented by TwinSpires. Again, next Tuesday, April 26th. That's 9308 Cane Run Road at Mike Lennox. Doors open at 6 o'clock. The program will start at 7. You can get tickets for just $15 in advance. Seating is limited, so get them before they're gone. Go to WHAS.com. to purchase those tickets again before they are gone. And again, I may need to get a ticket for myself because I am going to bet on the Derby. I do it every year, but if you know me even a little bit, you know that I know very little about horse racing at all. So I usually just try to find. Now, I will say this about Derby coverage. You won't get much of it here from me, but hearing stories about the trainers or the owners, that's sort of how I end up finding what kind of bets I want to make. But isn't it the favorite for the most part has won in recent years. So maybe that's just, you know, maybe I'll find the favorite and then I'll find one that I like that's got decent odds and try to box them or something like that. So anyways, I know nothing about horse racing. The experts like Jody and his folks over at TwinSpires, they can get you set. So you can get tickets right now at WHAS.com. All right. So back to World Wide West. You know, people have asked me, like, so what does he actually do? Like, what's his role? So his role with the Knicks is he's an advisor, but he's never coached basketball. He's never played basketball. So as an advisor, what is he advising? Business? Like, I don't think that it's a stretch to say that the same thing he's done for, like, Kentucky basketball in the past as far as networking, relationships, and connecting people together. It's always important to know a guy, right? And relationships have never been more important than they are right now, really in life, but especially in basketball and in coaching. So he's a good guy to know. But with the Knicks, I mean, maybe he's the guy who's, and I don't even know what you're allowed to do with, like, tampering going on, but I guess the Knicks believe he can help bring them players because of who he, you know, his circle includes. You know, I don't know what to make of this, but it's now become like a piece of news in the NBA and especially in New York. But World Wide West, along with Allen Houston, of course, who is also, I think, a member of the Knicks organization as a former New York Knick, that of course, is from Louisville. But Allen Houston and William Wesley were at Game 1 in Dallas when Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz took on the Mavericks. And all the speculation from, like, the New York Post and the New York writers is that that's just the beginning of their real pursuit of Donovan Mitchell, which Donovan's not a free agent. Last I checked, he's on contract for a while. So I don't know. Maybe they're being there to show Donovan that they want him and they want him to request a trade. I don't know how it all works, but that's a good question. Again, it adds to the mysteriousness of World Wide West. He's never been a basketball guy as far as like a coach or a player or anything. He didn't even play. I'm not even sure if he played in high school. So with that, like, what could he do for the Knicks? Is it a business thing? Is it a, I don't know. Nobody seems to really give a legitimate answer as to what William Wesley does, but he clearly has influence and knows everybody. He's connected, and that could help Louisville, and that's why we're talking about him. And if you are just now joining us, I did tweet something out yesterday. They got a lot of folks asking, what do you mean? And, you know, an assistant coach told me that, Not an assistant coach for Louisville, but they just said, look, the reason people are now starting to think that William Wesley the reason people are starting to think that DJ Wagner could end up at Louisville and not Kentucky is because William Wesley apparently wants him at U of L, and William Wesley usually has a lot of influence. So why does he care? I think the connection to Milt Wagner and just being a Louisville guy before he was worldwide and what he is now, I'm sure that's a factor too. But somebody asked a good question that I should have mentioned earlier is that, you know, do you have to hire Milt to get him? And apparently no, they don't think that they have to hire Milt Wagner to get DJ Wagner. But look, they could, I want to be clear, they could hire Milt Wagner and not get DJ Wagner. Like, I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade or ruin the optimism. I just love the fact that we feel like we got a shot at the number one player in the country. That's not exactly something we've been able to say here as Louisville fans in quite some time. So I do think they have a legitimate shot, but I know Kentucky is a real threat here too, and the relationship between DeJuan, DJ, and Cal is not something that we should just write off. Kentucky has felt like they've had this kid for probably, what, a decade now? I mean, that would make it to where when he was like 7 years old, but still, like he's been embedded with the Calipari family since he was born. But there's a rule, and I don't know the actual rule. It's like 11.4.2 something. U of L, I'm going to look into this during the break, and I'll correct myself if I need to, but from what I understand, Louisville cannot hire Milt Wagner as anything other than an assistant coach in order to get DJ Wagner. Like, there's some kind of rule that would say, hey, you can't bring in a guy to do an entry-level role to get his kid to come there. That's now not allowed. But if he's an actual assistant coach, you can do it. I'm pretty sure that's the rule, and if, again, I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected. Now, speaking of DJ Wagner, I threw this out there earlier and mentioned it as a question somebody asked me, and I'm now thinking I'm going to throw this up on Twitter and see what kind of responses we get, see what kind of responses we get on the text line. If you're a Louisville fan or a Kentucky fan, what recruit comes to mind as far as somebody that the fan base spent a lot of time talking about? They were on the edge of their seat for a long time, just hoping and praying that this kid committed to their school, but they didn't end up getting him. I've got a few. I'll share those with you coming up on the other side. I'm curious to see what other names we get. 502-653-0790. That's the number if you want to text in on the L&N Federal Credit Union text line. You can also get in touch on Twitter, at The Card Connect. All right, you are in the Red Zone. Hour number two on the way right here. We're fueled by Thorns on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons.
All right, let's do this. It is hour number two here on a Tuesday. That's right, it's Tuesday. I just had to double check which day it actually was, but because I'm distracted by this breaking news from our own Will Clark. This is really cool. Coming up at the end of the month here on April 30th, Lamar Jackson and Teddy Bridgewater are going to be in Louisville for an event. So I'm reading here from a release. It says Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens and Teddy Bridgewater of the Miami Dolphins are returning to Louisville to host the Derby City Reunion Weekend, a family health and wellness event celebrating the people and organizations that make the community a great place to live. So it's going to be Saturday, April 30th at 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. at the Norton Healthcare Sports and Learning Center. That is at 3029 West Muhammad Ali Boulevard. So that's pretty cool. I don't know exactly what the event's going to be as far as what they're going to do, but how about that? I don't know if Teddy and Lamar have ever even, I'm sure they've met, I'm sure they know each other, but like they've never been in Louisville together. I don't remember. I could be wrong. Maybe early, really early in Lamar Jackson's tenure, Teddy came back and there was like a picture of him. Again, I know they've met, but this talk about Louisville fans getting excited at seeing Teddy and Lamar together, two of the all-time greats. And I think it's fair to say that you probably don't have Lamar Jackson without Teddy Bridgewater, right? So here's more from the release. It says the event features the return of Louisville alumni and NFL quarterbacks Lamar Jackson and Teddy Bridgewater. Other professional athletes and special guests will be added as they are confirmed. At least 1,500 youth and their families are expected to attend. Participants participants under 18 years old must sign up through Louisville Parks and Recreation. So you can go to bestparksever.com. And I'm assuming there's more information there because they have it in the release. So that's really cool. I'm not sure if it necessarily fits something I would be part of, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of people there that want to go out and see Lamar and Teddy. So that's some cool stuff. And again, it's coming up here soon, right, at the end of the month. All right. So at the end of the 7 o'clock hour, for those just now getting your day started, just now joining us, we of course talked about DJ Wagner and Will Wild West and Louisville fans having a lot of excitement about where the program is right now. And disclaimer, Louisville hasn't landed a player. They haven't won a game. Kenny Payne hasn't coached a game. But he's made some moves as far as his staff that have you excited. And the move to bring in somebody affiliated with Roc Nation to be the director of basketball operations, that's more, I think, of like a statement than it is anything else. Not to say that this young man won't be able to do that job, which, again, I've learned just in conversations I've had since yesterday, that job is really different depending on where you are. Like the Dobo, the director of basketball operations, I think in general, there's a, you know, regardless of where you are, if that's your role, there's some things you do that you do no matter where you are. But like coaching staffs, and I've just learned this in recent months in trying to, you know, track Louisville's coaching search and you know, what kind of jobs are going to be filled. Basketball coaches build their staff differently. Now, I think you're allotted, I mean, everybody's allotted staffer, like three assistant coaches and a director of ops and a video coordinator. But then you can do other, you know, staff roles. Like, for example, director of basketball operations for U of L previously under Chris Mack was Cahill Fennell before he became an assistant, and then it was Taylor Barnett. And those guys were more like basketball, you know, they were very much involved in the basketball-related stuff. They were involved in the recruiting. And they couldn't be on the road recruiting because you can't be an active recruiter if you're not an assistant coach. But, like, they would logistically work out visits that recruits make. And they could communicate with them in that process. But the director of operations, you know, again, there's another staffer. And this was a role by Andrew Lentz, who was on Chris Mack's staff. He did a lot of things that I think his role wasn't, in fact, I'm not even sure what his title was, but it wasn't director of basketball operations, but he did a lot of the things that a director of basketball operations would do at a different school. So as far as what Justin Perez is going to be doing, I don't really know. But, and again, I don't say this to belittle him as if he's just a, you know, this is all just a gimmick. But that's hiring somebody affiliated with Roc Nation, Jay-Z's agency, to be your director of ops guy. To me, that's a statement. We'll see what kind of results you actually get from it, but that's kind of an off-the-wall type hire, and it's got people talking. And I think Kenny Payne knew that would be the case. I don't think that's the only reason he did it. But more often than not, when coaching staffs are formed and a new hire is made and they bring in a director of ops, it's most likely a guy you've never heard of or a former player looking to get his start in coaching or an entry-level position for somebody that's been a video coordinator elsewhere. Like, it's usually not a hire that gets much buzz, but you know what? When you hire a guy who has this background, you now have people talking about Louisville's director of basketball operations. It's not headline news, but it's generating buzz. And I think that was part of the plan for Kenny Payne. So I do agree with what came in earlier on the text line. I don't think Kentucky fans are jealous of Louisville at this point, but they're at least paying attention to what's going on. And to say that they're, like, worried, maybe even that is an exaggeration. But look, some of you guys are telling on yourself. Like, Louisville fans are now not really worried about Kentucky because they're focused on this fresh new start that you've got with Kenny Payne taking over the program, tracking. I mean, hell, Louisville fans are monitoring recruiting like they haven't in a long time because they're now swimming in different waters with Kenny Payne, and that's exciting. So it just feels nice to have some life. But I'm the first to admit, like, nothing's happened yet. And I will continue to be the one that reminds folks, let's be level-headed with expectations. Now, I say that knowing right now there are no expectations because you don't even know who's on your team. You don't even know what the roster looks like, right? So I just can't wait till we can actually talk about it, what expectations should be. But we're not close to that yet because, again, the roster is barely halfway constructed at this point. All right, speaking of that, let me give you a quick roster update. Still nothing from Roosevelt Wheeler. And, you know, I'll tell you this. If I'm Roosevelt Wheeler, I'm doing the same thing. I want to know who you're bringing in before I make a decision. Because Kenny Payne, from what I understand, the guys he's going after in the portal or the guys he's going after that are recruits right now, he's not making any decision based off of who's coming back. He's just going and getting talent. Now, I think clearly they've got a lot of front court players returning, and they need some guards. I think that's the obvious observation when you look at the personnel they have right now. But if I'm Rose, I want to know, okay, are you bringing in Brandon Huntley Hatfield, the former five-star who's transferring from Tennessee? Because if you do, that may make a difference in my decision. That makes sense. So Rose is still out there. The longer we wait, the more I worry about him coming back. But no offense to Rose, I'd love to have him back. But Louisville, I think, would be okay if he moved on. Maybe I'll regret saying that if he goes elsewhere and becomes a star, but I get it from his position. He's a guy that this is – of all the players, I feel like he's the one that you could really see why he'd love to stick around and play for Kenny Payne, because Kenny Payne is believed to be a really good developer of front court players. But also, Rose is the kind of player that I think if he did hit the portal, he would have a lot – he could go a lot of places. He may garner more interest than anybody that's hit the portal just yet. So – you'll have seven scholarships if Rose does not come back. Now, Brandon Huntley Hatfield is the five-star. He was a five-star recruit coming out of high school last year. He enrolled early at Tennessee. Did not have a big year by any means. He showed some upside. In fact, I remember, I think he played against Kentucky in one game and had a pretty big performance for, you know, for the minutes he got. But he averaged about 4 points and three boards a game. Again, did not have a good freshman season given the expectations. But the Clarksville, Tennessee native was a five-star prospect, the number 26 player overall. And he is going to visit Louisville this weekend. So he's got visits set up. In fact, I think currently he's visiting SMU. He's also going to visit Arizona State. He's going to visit Wake Forest and then Auburn. So those are the schools he's considering. Another name to keep an eye on is Devin Ree. Again, he visited over the weekend, and the belief is that he might commit any moment now. Maybe I should refresh social media. Maybe he's committed since then. Now, the number one player in the portal is Kendrick Davis of SMU, the American Conference Player of the Year, really good guard, averaged over 20 a game. He trimmed his list yesterday, and it did not include Louisville. So he's off the board for Louisville. Again, he's a really good guard that is going to be a game changer for anybody who gets him, but Louisville is not in play there. But there are two other guards right now in the last 24 hours that have hit the portal, and I don't think they've given any kind of a list or anything like that because, again, they just put their name in the portal. But Yuri Collins of St. Louis is a really, really good guard. This is a guy who averaged 8 assists per game last year at St. Louis, averaged 11 points, 4 rebounds, a really, really good player. I bet on St. Louis and Travis Ford a lot this year, so I found myself watching them on CBS Sports Network, and Yuri Collins is a really good player. And he's a true point guard. I'd love to see him at Louisville. We'll see if they get involved. And then the other one is Iowa State point guard Tyrese Hunter, who announced yesterday he's going to transfer. He was the Big 12 Freshman of the Year. There's going to be a lot of competition for this guy. I mean, he was phenomenal from Wisconsin. He averaged 11 points, 3.5 boards, and 5 assists, 2 steals per game, was the number 39th player in the class last year. So he'll have a lot of suitors. So if Louisville does get involved, there'll certainly be a lot of competition. And already, this is one of those things where some will say it's tampering, because if he ends up at North Carolina, then Iowa State fans will claim tampering, because the belief is that that's where he's going to go, and there's belief that he was made aware that, hey, if you want to go in the portal, we'd love to have you. And Carolina brings back really their entire team. They could add this really good young point guard. So I was thinking, you know, I saw a lot of the reaction yesterday. The portal will hurt and benefit everybody to an extent. Now, the obvious observation is the rich get richer, right? Here's to hoping down the road, you know, Louisville can benefit from it more so than they have up to this point. They've gotten some good transfers from the portal over the years, but, you know, they've not been able to really land a player like a Tyrese Hunter, who's coming from a Big 12 school that's a really good player. So, but who I think really, really is going to struggle is programs like Iowa State. So like I ended up in a Twitter thread yesterday, not tweeting, but just looking at a Twitter thread of Iowa State fans, and like I sympathize with them because they are the program that will lose all of their really – I mean, I shouldn't say all of them, but like Iowa State, is that not the typical program that you could see somebody in Ames, Iowa, that's been there for 3 years or 2 years, 1 year for this kid, this Hunter kid, and he has a really, really good start to his career – and he's like, I know I can play better than Iowa State. It's Iowa State. It's Ames, Iowa. Let me move on. So the counter to that is, well, maybe now Iowa State can go pluck an elite transfer from the mid-majors. Yeah, but you know what? Iowa State's also not going to land the elite mid-major transfers if those guys have options to go to like Duke or Kentucky or Kansas or maybe Louisville. So I feel like that tier, whatever tier that is labeled or whatever you want to call it, programs like that, programs like like maybe even like a Boston College or a like a Mississippi State, maybe. Just think of like the Power 5, Power 6 programs that like occasionally have success, but clearly they don't have a humongous fan base. They don't have a ton of NIL opportunities. Like, I think those are the schools that might, it's not going to wipe them out, and they'll be able to, you know, help. For example, Iowa State, let's look at them. And again, you can flip this back on Iowa State if you'd like, because last year, what did they do? They went from winning two games to making the Sweet 16, and they did it with mostly transfers. So they benefited from it. They took some transfers from other Power 5 schools that weren't having a lot of success, that got a fresh start. So everybody will find opportunities to either, you know, to benefit from it. But then again, you're also going to, you're going to get your, I mean, I think Louisville up to this point hasn't lost anybody yet to the portal that you're thinking, oh man, that's a real bummer. Although I do wish Dre Davis would come back, would have come back, but I understand his decision to move on. So at this point, I think the portal may hurt more schools than it does others, but overall for college basketball, I don't know how you could argue that this is not good for the sport as far as the popularity of it. We now have people talking about college basketball well into May and June because of these big decisions. And I don't know if that really benefits the sport from like a mainstream level, but like college, like fans are into college basketball more than they usually are because, again, the roster development, the roster tracking, the portal itself is, I think NIL and transfer portal are just giving us a new element to how we cover these teams and how fans talk about them. And that, I think that's a good thing. All right. You know what else is a good thing? A great thing. That's the DFH company. Because they'll get you taken care of regardless of whatever your temperature control issues are. Because I had to turn the heat on last night. It was 35 degrees when I left this morning, which is insane for it being mid to late April. But here we are. Good news is the warm weather's on the way this weekend. And you're likely going to need to turn the AC on in your home because it's going to be 85 degrees, I believe, on Saturday. So if you are putting it off and you know, hey, I've been barely getting by the last couple of summers, the air conditioning in my home is just not performing the way that I need it to, and there's no way it can survive another hot summer. Well, that's where DFH comes in. Give them a call, 502-968-6222, or check them out online, dfhcompany.com, and you can trust them. That's the biggest praise I can give them, is that they're not going to give you wrong information. They're not going to tell you you need to replace something if you don't need to. These are not sales folks that are in your home looking at your system. These are service folks that are there to provide a service, replace parts, that kind of stuff. They're not there to try to sell you. They're not going to get a commission if you buy a unit. So again, you can trust them. Give them a call, 502-968-6222, or check them out online, dfhcompany.com. And if you do in fact need a new system, which you might, because these things do need to be replaced after a certain amount of time, there's no better time than right now to take advantage of this insane opportunity. You can get a new full train system with 18-month special financing and a 10-year parts and labor warranty. It is hard to stop a train again. Full train system, 18 months of special financing, 10-year parts and labor warranty. You can't beat that. You get more info at dfhcompany.com. And for complete eligibility dates, details, and restrictions, go to the website. And this is subject to credit approval. So just keep that in mind. But hey, I mean, I know there are many of you listening, because that was me last year, right? Like my AC went out of my house and it was 95 degrees outside. It was brutal. I got two young kids. It was awful. We were about to have to go get a hotel room. That's how bad it was. But of course, you reach out to trustworthy folks like DFH Company. They'll come out and they'll get you squared away. They came out, took care of me, put some Freon in the system, gave me a nice cleaning, which is something I wasn't aware of. You know, you can't let these things get dirty and filthy or they'll stop working the way they're supposed to. So I got myself all cleaned up. Not myself, but of course the AC. And now it's working like a top. So again, DFH Company, check them out online, dfhcompany.com. All right, I want to get to this coming up on the other side because I do already have a lot of tweets coming in with responses to this. And because of the DJ Wagner recruitment, my question was, who is the most talked about recruit within your fan base that ended up going elsewhere? Some obvious ones coming in for Louisville. For Kentucky, there's some that I'd forgotten about. So we'll get to that and a lot more coming up on the other side. Also, We'll get to the text line. I've ignored the text line. 502-653-0790 is the L&N Federal Credit Union text line. We'd certainly love to hear from you. So don't go anywhere. Again, you are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's. Share your thoughts on the L&N Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
Some good responses coming in here on Twitter and on the text line. With DJ Wagner going to be a very, he already has been a very talked about name on this show, elsewhere. I mean, nationally, he's the number one player in America. But Louisville and Kentucky at this point seem to be the two that will get his services. And somebody asked me the question yesterday is, could he end up being the most talked about recruit that one of these schools doesn't end up getting? And I don't know the answer to that question because, again, we're still in the early stages, I guess, of tracking his recruitment. Although maybe not. Like maybe he decides this summer. I don't know. Maybe he decides in the winter during the season. I don't know. But when it comes to the most talked about recruit within your fan base that ended up going elsewhere, here are some responses that we've gotten up to this point. And I'll go ahead and tell you some of these names I'm not familiar with because these were probably recruits that were long before I was into following U of L and recruiting. But the obvious one for U of L is Sebastian Telfair. But he's a little different because he didn't come here. He didn't go elsewhere. He obviously didn't come here, but he just went to the pros. And, like, you had him. I'm talking about a kid that didn't commit to you, that, like, you were on the edge of your seat as he had an announcement and he chose to go elsewhere. So Telfair is the most talked-about recruit that didn't play here, but you had him if he went to college. Matt on Twitter mentions Marcus Teague. That's a good one. That was early on in the time I was really following recruiting. And it's funny, Calipari was not at Kentucky at the time of, at least I don't think he was, at the time that Teague's recruitment really started. And then, of course, he ends up there and gets involved. And I'm pretty sure Marcus Teague chose Kentucky over Louisville and Cincinnati. I think Mick Cronin got involved and felt like he had a chance. And if I remember correctly, Mick Cronin, this is what I was told, is that in pursuit of Marcus Teague, Mick Cronin's pitch was not necessarily to sell Cincinnati, but just to talk about how big of a slime ball Calipari was, which of course made them, you know, enemies. But Rick Pitino hired Marcus Teague's assistant coach at Pike High School. And I'm trying to find the young man's name. I forgot his name. I don't know if he ever ended up coaching elsewhere. But yeah, that didn't work out. In fact, it was pretty non-surprising, if you will, whenever that coach was fired quickly after Teague ended up picking Kentucky. And the reason I'm spinning my wheels here is because Teague showed up to the announcement with the hats on the table and he wore red. And it's so far back, I can't tell you that, like, I remember Louisville really believing that they were going to get him. But I feel like they felt good about it because they'd recruited him for so long. But I also feel like deep down, like, the days leading up to that, it felt like, uh-oh, Calipari's going to get this kid, isn't he? So that's a good one because they recruited him for forever. Winston Bennett, that's one that I would have guessed, but I was not, of course, his recruitment was long before I was around. But, yeah, I think he's one of the first big-name players from Louisville to pick Kentucky over Louisville when Louisville was, of course, still an elite program. I'm going to have to look up when it was that he came out of Winston Bennett graduated from Mayo in 1983. Gosh. Wow, I didn't realize it was that long ago. And yeah, Winston Bennett was one of the best players in America. And in 83, of course, that was when Denny Crum was making Louisville the team of the 80s. So that's a good one. Again, I can't speak to it from personal experiences, but I always knew that was a recruit that came down to these two schools in the state. Who else do we have here? Quincy Miller and Deuce Bello. Yeah, I mean, I know why people are mentioning those for Louisville. They ended up going to Baylor, and Louisville, of course, was in on them. But I don't feel like it ever got to, like, by the time they were set to make a decision, Louisville was no longer pursuing them. And it was for, I think, obvious reasons. They were asking for certain things Rick Pitino was not comfortable giving them. Yeah, most people are mentioning Sebastian Telfair, and I get it because, again, he was, I mean, that guy was a star. He had the documentary Through the Fire made about him. He was on the cover of Slam magazine next to LeBron James when LeBron James was a senior at St. Vincent St. Mary, and Telfair was a junior at Lincoln High School. So that I get why people are saying that, but I guess I should have clarified. And again, it's fine to mention that, but my point is you had him. You didn't lose him to another school, and that's more so what I'm thinking about here. Let me give you a sneaky one. Some of you may not remember this name, but if you do, you know. If you know, you know. Maverick Rowan. Maverick Rowan was not even like Maverick Rowan was not even like that highly thought of as a recruit. He was a fine player, but he was a swingman. He was ranked 57th in the country coming out of high school. And he ended up going to NC State. I'm pretty sure he went to NC State and was a fine player there. But I think he got talked about so much because he was wishy-washy. Like, he was about to commit, then he wasn't. And it seemed like the coaching staff really went over backwards for this guy, only for him to not come to Louisville. But, yeah, back in 2015, that's 7 years ago. So some of you may not remember. Maverick Rowan is the one that comes to mind for me just because I just felt like we talked about his recruitment nonstop. And I remember thinking to myself at the time, I was on the radio at a different station, I'm thinking, we're spending a lot of time talking about a guy who is a four-star player. Like, we act like this guy's going to change everything. And he's a fine player. I don't think he ended up having that great of a career. In fact, I think he left early and didn't get drafted. I have no clue whatever happened to Maverick Rowan. Maybe I'll look into that one day. But that's a good one. You know, for Kentucky, this comes in from Tyler, who says, for Kentucky, it's easy, Jai Lucas. Yeah, that's going back in the day. That was Jai Lucas a Billy guy? Yeah, they were going after Patrick Patterson and Jai Lucas together. I think they both played for Huntington Prep, if I remember correctly. And they got Patrick Patterson, but they didn't get Jai Lucas. He ended up going to Florida. I think he went to Florida. Did he go to Texas? He coached at Texas, but I think he played at Florida. So I'm sure there's some that I'm missing. You can keep them coming. Scott on Twitter says Cedric Henderson. Got to throw my hand up and tell you I don't even know who that is, but I'll take your word for it, Scott. Daniel says Rondo. Yeah, but Rondo. No, I don't. I would not put Rondo in this conversation because Rondo. Louisville didn't go after Rondo. Louisville took Telfair over Rondo, and maybe, you know, again, I was in high school at the time, so maybe Rondo was talked about a lot because he was somebody that we knew was really good that moved on from Eastern to Oak Hill and wanted to play at Louisville, and maybe that's why he was talked about. But when I think about DJ Wagner, I'm thinking about a guy that you know is coming down to two schools, and it's a high level player like DJ Wagner, the number one player in America, to where you're obsessing over it all the way to the finish line only for your school not to land him. And I just don't, you know, I don't think Rondo necessarily fits with that. All right, again, 502-653-0790 is the number if you want to text in. Again, it's the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. Again, a lot of people mentioning Sebastian Telfair. Huh, somebody did, in fact, at 8 o'clock say Maverick Rowan. That was definitely, I'm glad I wasn't the only one that came to mind. Oh, here's a good one. Yeah, here's some good ones. Got some really good ones that are coming in on the text line. They're coming in hot and heavy. 502-653-0790 is the number. This text says, Rex Chapman. Yeah, I remember listening to Rex Chapman's, what is his podcast called? Charges. But he, it's a pretty good podcast, by the way. I'm not the biggest Rex Chapman fan, but he did a podcast kind of introducing himself in the opening podcast of this series that he has on Apple Podcasts. I think it's an iHeart podcast. Either way, he described something that I wasn't aware of, that like he was all in on wanting to come to Louisville. Like Rex Chapman wanted to come to Louisville. I don't know if he ever committed, but He loved Daryl Griffith. I think they became friends. I guess he was a fan of Daryl. Daryl was, of course, older than Rex Chapman. So he was going to be a Louisville Cardinal. As to why he ended up in Kentucky, I mean, it is Kentucky. But, yeah, Rex, I don't, again, I can't speak to these like I remember, oh, when Rex Chapman was down to Louisville in Kentucky, he burned us. But that makes total sense because Rex was a star. Like, going back to what we talked about in the first hour about not only is Kenny Payne believed to be able to give us players that are talented that a lot of schools want, but he could also help you bring players that add the cool factor. And that may sound corny to some, and I get it, but there are certain players that give you the cool factor as a program. Kentucky had a few of them. They don't want any more, at least they haven't recently. Zion Williamson was that guy. I mean, I think you could even argue that even Cade Cunningham at Oklahoma State was that guy. And maybe DJ Wagner's that guy. But Rex Chapman was that guy back in 19. What year did he come out of high school? Yeah, he graduated from high school in 19. Well, doesn't say. But do you remember, Matt? I know you knew of Rex. Was it late 80s? Mid 80s when Rex was coming out? I guess early 80s because he played at Kentucky. Yeah, it was 86.
I was going to say not early 80s. Yeah,
86. So at that time, Louisville had just won a national championship. And they were going after Rex Chapman. So I imagine that recruitment was pretty heated because he was a fan of Louisville. And, I mean, he said word for word. I'm paraphrasing here because it's been a while since I listened to this. But I was floored when I heard that he was going to Louisville until he wasn't. He didn't really share as to why he wasn't going to Louisville. Let's see. Allen Houston. Oh, my goodness. How could I forget that? Allen Houston. Again, I say forget it like I was there at the time. But, I mean, Allen Houston is the all-time, like, what if. Right? Because Allen Houston was right here in our backyard. His father, Wade, was a staffer for Denny Crum, was very influential. I mean, the first person Kenny Payne hugged when he got off the plane was Wade Houston. Wade Houston recruited him to come to Louisville. So Allen, here at Ballard, one of the best players in America, ended up being the 11th pick in the NBA draft. And we all know Tennessee hired Wade Houston, and that, of course, led to Allen going to play for his father. And it was just a tough situation because you can't blame the kid for going to play for his dad. But, man, what could have been had he, in 1989, joined U of L and played alongside guys like LeBradford Smith? I mean, you kidding me? Hell, Purvis Ellison would have been a senior when Allen was a freshman, I believe. So, yeah, he's the ultimate what if. And again, I'm probably embarrassing myself as a guy who claims to be, you know, a U of L fan and expert, as some might say, which I think that's cringe when I hear that. But, like, I don't remember. Did Allen Houston commit to Louisville and then just obviously make the obvious choice to go follow his father once he got a job? I always was told that Tennessee literally hired Wade Houston so they could have Allen Houston. And, hey, it's a pretty good investment. Again, the guy ended up being an All-American in college. He has his number 20 retired. He was a phenom. So, yeah, Allen Houston is one that I probably should have mentioned beforehand. Chicken Knowles, that's a good one. That was more so created by my former colleague and still not former but current friend Mike Rutherford. He loved the thought of bringing Chicken to the Bucket, and it created a life for itself. And I don't think that player was actually very good, but yes, I remember that name very well when it comes to recruits that we used to track. Romeo Langford, yeah. Romeo Langford's one of those guys that I'll give you this. Romeo Langford's recruitment was talked about for a long time because Romeo Langford, if we're going to go based off the area, and I don't mean just Louisville. Again, he's in Southern Indiana over at New Albany, but if we're going based off of the region, Louisville, the outskirts of Louisville, and Southern Indiana, he's the best player to come out of this area maybe in my lifetime. I mean, he was a top four, top three player nationally. So he won a state title at New Albany as a sophomore. He decided to stay there and not go to a prep school. So we spent many years talking about Romeo Langford, but I never felt like Louisville was really going to get him. I knew Kenny Johnson had a good relationship with him, and Louisville felt like a real player, essentially, but we knew he didn't want to go to Kentucky. That relationship soured because Cal coached him in like some USA basketball event and it didn't work out. But Kansas, Indiana, Kentucky, and I think Vandy was involved. I'm sorry, not Kentucky. Kansas, Louisville, Indiana, and Vandy, I think, were his final four. But look, Romeo, I mean, by the time Romeo Langford was making a decision, Louisville was going through, I mean, they just fired Rick. Chris Mack, you know, Chris Mack told me he reached out to Romeo Langford's father after he got the job and he never heard back from him. So, yes, that one counts because we did talk a lot about him. But by the time it got towards decision time, in fact, let me back up a second here. We did talk a lot about him, but I remember getting mocked by people for, because I would claim Louisville's in better shape with Langford than people realize. Not saying they're going to get him, but like those that just think it's a foregone conclusion, he's not coming to Louisville, are wrong. And I remember getting mocked. So I don't believe a lot of you that felt like you really thought that you were going to get him. Let's see here. This is Sean Kemp. Does this one count? I mean, Sean Kemp ended up at UK, so you did get him. He just had some issues that led to him not being able to play at UK, which apparently there are some stories about Sean Kemp's time in Lexington that are wild, to say the least. You want to hear a random story? Back in September, I was in Lexington, and I went to Matt Jones and his crew, the KSR crew. They were celebrating their anniversary, and my wife and I went to their party in Lexington, and Richie Farmer was there. And Richie Farmer, he was holding court, just telling stories and just, you know, being Richie Farmer, a celebrity, if you will, in the state of Kentucky. And he was there with Sean Kemp briefly. I don't know the timeline, if he was actually playing there during the Sean Kemp, what would have been Sean Kemp's college days. But he was sharing some stories about Sean Kemp that I don't feel comfortable sharing. But, like, the brief amount of time Sean Kemp was in Lexington, my man, he lived. We'll put it that way. Man, this is taking me back in time. Some of these names I'd forgotten all about. But if you're just now joining us, the question is, which recruit did your school, like your team, your fan base essentially, spend the most amount of time talking about only for this recruit not to end up committing to your school? So we'll reset this coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's get to a quick timeout. We'll come back on the other side. Get to the text line, 502-653-0790 is the number. Again, it's the L&N Federal Credit Union text line. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's right here on 790 KRD.
Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's. Share your thoughts on the L&N Federal Credit Union text line at
502-653-0790. Crossing left to right. Got it to the rim. Floats it home. Two-point game. 93-91. And Jalen Brunson with a career-high 36 points.
Ended up being 41 points for Jalen Brunson last night. I forgot how good he was at Villanova. He won just about every National Player of the Year award when he led Nova to a championship. But probably the best game of his life last night as Dallas ties up that series one apiece without Luka Doncic, without Tim Hardaway, and Utah's in trouble, man. They should be better than they are. And look, they could still win this series, but if Dallas is able to compete like this, and they were at home, but you could argue they could have easily won game one as well. And you're not far away from going down 0-2. And again, they're without Luka Doncic, a guy who I argue may be more valuable to his team than any other player is to any other team. So not looking good for Donovan and the Jazz. But how about last night, the Golden State Warriors just looking like they did a few years ago? I mean, the Warriors scored. See here. They scored 70 points in less than 20 minutes, 19 minutes of action. And, of course, Steph Curry was doing Steph Curry things. But, man, Jordan Poole, I mean, what are the chances? You've got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson who have played together for the entirety of their career, essentially. And they are two of the best shooters of all time who not only play for the same franchise, they play for the same team at the same time. And Jordan Poole is now looking like maybe one of the other best shooters, maybe not of all time. That's a little bit of a stretch, but he's one of the Splash Brothers, is he not? I mean, I'm not sure what his contract situation is, but I would imagine that he'll likely get a new deal there and become really rich, or he'll go on elsewhere and get a huge deal because he's really been a star for them all year. In fact, that was a real big talking point, that without Steph Curry, he got an elevated role. He's been good even with when he's playing alongside Steph Curry. But, yeah, I mean, he's 29 points, 8 assists, 5 of 10 from 3. Unbelievable. So I don't find this Warriors team to be even remotely dislikable like the other teams. Why is that? Kevin Durant not being there is certainly a factor, but I don't know. I mean, I didn't like the Warriors before Kevin Durant ended up there. Maybe it's because Draymond's growing on me a little bit. Just a little bit. But yeah, the playoffs will continue tonight. And I just don't have as much. You guys know how much I love betting on sports. It's awesome. It's a great way to enhance the entertainment value of watching sports. That's the best way to describe it from my end. But I guess it's because I don't have a ton of confidence. That's why I'm not so eager to make bets. Like tonight we've got 3 games. You've got the Hawks and the Heat. Heat minus 7.5. Man, that seems like an easy play given the fact that the Hawks were just pathetic and the Heat were dominant in game one. But hey, you've seen hell. That's what kind of sucks about the playoffs, if I'm going to be honest with you, especially in these early series. But hey, it's even happened in the finals. Matt, you remember in the finals a few years ago, whenever it was the last time we got the Cleveland Golden State matchup, did it go 7 or 6? I don't know what it went, but each game that was won was a blowout. Like, there were no competitive games till the end when J.R. Smith forgot the score. That was the only competitive game of that series.
I thought that was the first game.
Might have been.
Yeah, I think it was game one where he forgot the score.
That is a wild, like, never forget. For me, it was like a never forget where you are sports moment, because I was thinking to myself, he is likely the only person in that arena that did not know the score. And sure enough, it cost them the game. So you can see a team get blown out and then come out and blow the other team out the next night. And it sucks for the product, but it is what it is. And it's because when you've got a 7-game series to get the best of somebody, you can throw in the towel when you're down 20 and play your – or down, I mean, hell, you can submit early and say, you know what, we'll take this loss. I'm going to rest up my guys because we only need to win one more. Let's get them healthy for the next game. Minnesota and Memphis, that to me is the game to watch. That I don't really have any rooting interest in this game, but game one, I'm sure it'll go down as one of the many examples of the poorly seeded team playing above their head and getting an early lead. Like, who was it a few years ago? The Magic got off to a 1-0 lead against maybe like the Bucks or something like that. Maybe that's what this is. But I'm telling you, this Minnesota team with guys, I mean, Patrick Beverley, D'Angelo Russell, not to mention Karl Towns. I mean, they've got a really, really good team. Anthony Edwards is a star. And then the late game is the Suns and the Pelicans. And I got to tell you, no offense to Matt Suns, I got nothing for this series. The Pelicans, to me, are the most blah team in the NBA. And the Suns are going to wax them again. So you don't need to show up tonight, New Orleans. It's over. It's over for you. All right, not over for us. We got another hour to go. That's right, the 9 o'clock hour coming your way. Stick around right here. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thorntons here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons.
That's right, hour number 3 here in the Red Zone on 790 KRD. We are fueled by Thornton's. 502-653-0790 is the number if you want to text in. It's the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. We'll get to the text line coming up here in just a moment. We've also got a chance for you to win $1,000 coming up here in about 20 minutes as we put a grand in your hand. It's the Keyword to Cash contest. You will have an opportunity each hour from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. right here on 790 KRD to win $1,000. I mean, think about that. Imagine telling everybody, not only do I listen to the Red Zone because it's great and I'm a fan, but I made $1,000 by listening. So it's that easy. Your first shot is today coming up here in about 20 minutes, and you'll have many more throughout the day right here on 790 KRD. Take us with you wherever you go with the iHeartRadio app. You can also listen live at 790KRD.com. Quickly, this is something I talked about in the 8 o'clock hour for those that missed it, and this is a really cool event where Lamar Jackson and Teddy Bridgewater are both coming back to Louisville on April 30th for an event. So Teddy and Lamar will be the host of the Derby City Reunion Weekend. It's a family health and wellness event celebrating the people and organizations that make the community a great place to live. So it's going to be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, April the 30th at the Norton Healthcare Sports and Learning Center. That's 3029 Muhammad Ali Boulevard. And says here that local organization. I'm trying not to read the entire press release to you on here. I'm sure you can easily find it. But Teddy and Lamar are going to host this event, and there's going to be other professional athletes and special guests added as they are confirmed. And there's going to be at least 1,500 youth and families expected to attend. Participants under 18 years old must sign up through Louisville Parks and Recreation. The website is bestparksever.com. So if you have a child who you know would love the thought of being a part of this event and seeing Teddy Bridgewater and Lamar Jackson, and I don't really know exactly what they're going to do other than host, but hell, your kids will get to hang out with them to an extent. So what you can do to sign your kid up is go to bestparksever.com. Really, really cool. I mean, Teddy and Lamar, obviously Louisville legends, and I don't think you would have a Lamar Jackson without Teddy Bridgewater. And I don't know if we've ever – I mean, obviously they're both in the NFL. I don't know if they've ever – I don't really know if they've – I guess they did play against each other last year, and then Teddy got hurt, I believe it was. But I'm just trying to think of, like, moments where fans have seen those two together, and I don't know if that's ever happened. So really, really cool. Teddy has not been back to Louisville that often since he left. I don't think it's for any particular reason, but, yeah, getting Teddy back will be really cool. And, of course, anytime Lamar's back in town, that's a big deal. He's still relatively fresh off of an MVP award, and I'm curious to see what happens with his contract because, clearly, I think – Baltimore's going to give him a ton of money and make him a very, very highly paid QB, as they should. But that's really what the – when it comes to Lamar Jackson's offseason, you know, storyline surrounding the Ravens, what the contract situation is that's become a big storyline. But another potential storyline is, you know, will they bounce back? I mean, they were – until Lamar got hurt, I felt like the Ravens were doing a lot with a little. And hell, even go back to, I mean, hell, midway through the, well, I don't know, maybe not midway through the year, but like in October, I remember the Monday Night Football game where he single-handedly destroyed my Colts in the second half. And at that point, he was in the driver's seat for the MVP award. So he did get hurt late, and they lost every game without him, I'm pretty sure, which does speak to his value. So he'll get a long-term deal at some point, and here's to hoping the Ravens can bounce back. I can't be a phony and tell you like I'm a Ravens fan because I'm not, but I'm a Lamar fan, so I want to see him do well. And of course, obviously him doing well means his team doing well. But I was worried that because of Lamar and what he meant to U of L, would I be one of those guys that like became a fan of his team, fan of the Ravens? And it didn't happen at all. In fact, I learned through this past year, I can't quit the Colts. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't. The way they fell apart with Carson Wentz and did the, lost to the Jaguars, of course, which led to them. And not only did they lose to the Jaguars to miss the playoffs, they got blown out. I remember telling myself that day, that's it, I'm done. This team has no future. We were really lucky to have two quarterbacks back-to-back, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, and that was just all luck, no pun intended. And now I'm just going to be a miserable fan, so I need to go ahead and get out while I can and find a new team. And I explore the options, and I can't quit them. And I'm sure a lot of you have thought about that too. Whenever you're the team you are emotionally invested in that you love, hell, it's a part of your lifestyle, part of your culture. Like they've disappointed you and made you such a miserable man or woman, and you've thought to yourself, why am I doing this? I'm out. And you just can't. Once you're in, you're in. Same thing with my Pacers. Although they've been so irrelevant for a while, I haven't really paid much attention to them. All right, 502-653-0790. That's the number if you guys want to text in. Again, on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. Members get more at LNNFCU. You can learn more or open an account today at LNFCU.com. All right, so we had somebody ask, is Louisville going to go after Amoni Bates? Is it Amoni or Amoni? I think it's Amoni Bates. But he is the former phenom who was underwhelming in his one season at Memphis, and he's now in the portal. This text mentions that, you know, he's got some baggage. Probably so. So to answer your question, I have no clue where this kid's going to end up. He was committed to Michigan State for a while. He's from Ypsilanti. Is that how you say that? Ypsilanti, Michigan. And then decommitted from Michigan State and then ended up going to Memphis and, again, was not only underwhelming in his first season, they actually got better when he stopped playing. A lot of people said he faked a back injury. I'm not sure if that's the case. But when he stopped playing, Memphis turned it on and became a better team. So that's a little bit of a red flag. But he is a guy that for years was thought to be one of the most talented players in America. So I think there's something there. But I'm also willing to acknowledge, yeah, there's also enough tape on this guy to where if certain schools decided to stay away, it really wouldn't surprise me. So I have no clue where this kid's going to end up. I don't think he's listed any kind of schools. But the one connection, and again, this may be somewhat of a reach, but it's at least something, is that he is a Rock Nation athlete, meaning, as you likely now know, college athletes can have representation. They can have agents. Now, they can't, you know, represent them to get paid for play, for performance stuff, but that through NIL. And coming out of high school, Amani Bates signed with Rock Nation. Louisville just hired a young man whose parents are whose mom's the CEO of Rock Nation. So that's somewhat of a connection, but does that mean Louisville gets involved? I don't really know. I've seen a lot of people said they think he's just going to go back to Michigan State, where he was initially committed, where he's from. But we will see. All right, this is a good one coming in from Josh on Twitter. So if you are just now joining us, I want to get back. I guess let me reset, and then we'll dive into this text that comes in and the tweets that are coming in too. That is the DJ Wagner. I asked yesterday a couple of assistant coaches that I not know well, but at least I have somewhat of a relationship with. Hey, like why are these experts flipping their prediction from DJ Wagner to Kentucky to DJ Wagner to Louisville? And I thought it's because everybody just assumed Milt Wagner was going to join the staff, and he didn't join the staff. Now, he still could. There's a spot open. Maybe it's him. And if that's the case, that can't hurt Louisville's chances. But I thought, because Kenny Payne was so secretive, that Travis Branham flipped his crystal ball to Louisville for DJ Wagner because he just thought Milt was going to be on the staff, and then it wasn't Milt. I could be wrong on that, although, for what it's worth, from what I can tell, maybe it's behind a paywall, but Branham hasn't really shared why he changed it. So maybe he has his reasons, but I just said, hey, why do you think this is the case? And a current Power 5 assistant told me it's because William Wesley, Worldwide Wes, wants to see DJ play at Louisville. And I thought to myself, why does he care? Great if that's the case, but why does he care? And they just explained to me that, hey, of all the people that Worldwide Wes is connected to, I mean, he's rubbing elbows with guys like Jay-Z, who are shouting him out in songs, Drake, LeBron James, Allen Iverson. I mean, he is connected with some of the biggest celebrities in the world. He used to be an advisor for the CAA, which is an agency that represents not just famous athletes, but famous people in all walks of life. So of all the people that Worldwide West is connected to, again, he's a big relationships guy. The way it was described to me is that the one relationship that he's had more than any is Milt Wagner. Milt Wagner and him were longtime friends from way back when they were in high school, before Worldwide became Worldwide. And before anybody knew who he was hanging around the Louisville program because he was close friends with Milt. He was close friends with Billy Thompson. And, you know, he, from decades back, was a Louisville guy, a Louisville fan, if you will, because of his personal connection to the program. Now, that changed over the years, and he became, and I'm using, look, Calipari used this word. So if you're a UK fan thinking I'm insinuating that you're cheating, I'm not. Calipari, after they won a title in 2012, said that William Wesley is a great ambassador for their program, whatever that means. Well, now I think he's going to be an ambassador for Louisville because he's got I keep mentioning Milt and Billy Thompson. He's also very close with Kenny Payne, where they talked about how they shed tears because Kenny was moving on from the Knicks, where William Wesley and Leon Rose are still employed. So I don't know what he has to gain by Wagner coming to Louisville and not going to Kentucky, but if that's what he wants, I don't think that's something that should be ignored. Now, the big question is, if you didn't hire Milt, what would that do? And I'll be honest, I don't know the answer to that question, but Milt can only be hired as an assistant coach. You can't put him on the staff in some whatever role and then that's an NCAA rule that is now out there. I don't know which rule it is, but this is somebody from U of L that told me this, hey, you know, you have DJ Wagner can't come to Louisville if Milt Wagner's hired as like a staff assistant. Like he's going to have to be like an actual assistant coach. And look, he's been an assistant coach before, so it's not as if you're literally just bringing him, you know, off the sidelines who's never done it. He hadn't done it in a while, but all in all, this just got to me thinking, could this guy, DJ Wagner, end up being the most talked about recruit among Louisville and Kentucky fans that one of these schools doesn't end up getting? And it just got me thinking, who are some of the other recruits that your fan base has spent an insane amount of time talking about? They were on the edge of their seat waiting for this kid to make a decision only for him to not come to your school. And we've talked about a lot of the obvious names. Allen Houston. People have mentioned Rajon Rondo, Sebastian Telfair. But I think those are different situations. Those are obviously recruits that everybody knew about and talked about, and they didn't come to your school. But I'm talking about a guy who just decides to go elsewhere at the last minute. Marcus Teague is a good one. But with Rondo, Louisville didn't pursue him until it was too late because they had Telfair. And Telfair, he never played here, but you still technically had him because he just didn't go to college. If he was going to go to college, he was going to come to Louisville. So I get why people mention that, but I'm thinking more so about guys that just at the last minute, or maybe not even a last minute thing, but you just knew going, like leading up to it. Like, for example, Trey Lyles, when Calipari and Patino went head to head for him, maybe my memory is a little foggy, but Louisville felt good about their chances. Now, I think like day of it was leaking that he was going to go to Kentucky, and anytime a kid was picking Kentucky at that point, nobody was surprised. But my point is, like, Rick Pitino really went head-to-head and didn't back down, and then he learned his lesson that he's not ever going to go head-to-head with Calipari for a recruit because he knows he won't win. I mean, those weren't his words, but, like, it made a lot of sense. You're going to keep letting down the fan base if you try to go one-on-one, kind of like what Calipari's doing right now. Calipari was trying to go one-on-one with Coach K for recruits, and he keeps losing, and it's not a good look. I think I saw KSR mention this the other day. When it comes to recruits that have gone, that it's gotten down to Duke or Kentucky, the last 20 of them, 17 have gone to Duke and not Kentucky. So, I mean, that's they're still landing good players, but yikes. I mean, that just speaks to what Duke is able to do right now in recruiting, even without Mike Krzyzewski. But Josh, back to Josh's tweet that came in earlier. It says, what about Tracy McGrady to Kentucky? That is so far back in time, I don't remember. Like, was McGrady committed to Kentucky? I don't think he was, but there was, and he's, look, he's come out and said it. Like, two guys, I'll give you two. Dirk Nowitzki and Tracy McGrady are two guys that came out, I think, in the mid to late 90s when Rick was still there. Yeah, Tracy McGrady was drafted in 1997, coming out of high school. So if he did commit, I think he was going to commit to Kentucky, but I don't believe he ever actually committed. And then Dirk, I don't really know much about Dirk's recruitment, but I do know Dirk Nowitzki was a guy that has said many times since he got to the NBA and became a star that he would have gone to Kentucky. Everybody's mentioning Allen Houston. This is from Bill. I didn't know this, Bill, that Allen Houston never played in an NCAA tournament game at Tennessee in 4 years. Yikes. I still don't think he would say he regrets his decision because, one, he's a Tennessee legend, and he did get to play for his father. Derek Anderson, this is from the text line. Derek Anderson was Louisville's to lose. That's always – I've met Derek a couple times, and I've never asked him this, and I'm sure he's gone on the record to talk about it. But I've always heard that Derek Anderson wanted to come to Louisville, and Louisville didn't recruit him. I don't know why that's the case. He came out of high school in the mid-90s, was a star, ended up at Ohio State before he ended up committing to Kentucky after he transferred. But, yeah, I don't know the history of his recruitment, but I can certainly tell you this. He was too good to get out of Louisville, especially if he won. Like, maybe that's – Denny didn't make – you know, Denny didn't have many misses during his heyday in recruiting. I'm sure he did miss on players. But, yeah, if the truth is that – Derek Anderson wanted to come to Louisville and Louisville didn't want him, then yeah, they missed out because he was, I mean, hell, those mid-90s Kentucky teams were phenomenal. But when I think of the mid-90s, when I think of 95 to 98, first player that comes to mind for me is Derek Anderson or Ron Mercer, maybe Tony Delk. Matt, that was back when you were still heavily invested in the Big Blue Nation.
Did you say Roy Mercer?
No, Roy Mercer was great. No. Ron Mercer was a good basketball player.
Yeah. RD.
When you think of 96 through 98, mm-hmm. what's the first player that comes to mind for you for Kentucky?
I mean, you just said Ron Mercer, so it's kind of hard not to think of Ron Mercer. Well,
I mentioned Eric Anderson first because he's to me was like the bigger star. But when he got hurt, they were both phenomenal.
Yeah,
like that was a duo. Mercer and Anderson were a duo that there have been other really really good teams over the years that have like two star players. In fact, two guys that are both All-Americans.
Wasn't Jeff Shepard on those teams?
Yeah, he's memorable because of what he did in the 98 game where he went off, and didn't he go crazy against Duke?
Well, he's memorable because I remember him.
Yeah.
I mean, you asked me who I remembered. That's the name I remember.
I always got him and Cameron Mills mixed up when I was young. I don't now, but when I was young, I did. But, yeah, Derek Anderson, if in fact, I'm not a young child, but some of these names you're throwing out there are a little before my time.
Was Wayne Turner on those teams?
Yeah, Wayne Turner.
Yeah. I remember him.
Was he the only one? This sounds wrong, but. Was he the only one who was a starter for both championship teams?
I wouldn't know that.
Because Wayne Turner, of course, he was here.
Didn't Anthony Epps start for one of the teams?
That's right. Anthony Epps, I think, was on the 96 team.
Yeah. And they were both point guards, right?
So Wayne Mercer was at Kentucky from 95 to 99. So he played on both title teams.
You mean Ron Mercer or Wayne Turner?
I said Wayne Mercer.
You said Wayne Mercer.
I'm sorry. Wayne Turner. And Wayne Turner... I don't remember. He was an All-American in 95, and he won two titles again in 96. I'm sorry, 95 he was an All-American coming out of high school. But he did win a title in 96 and 98, and he was at Louisville for a while. I got to know him briefly, and he was not kidding or joking or being sarcastic when he would say he would put his college career up against anybody's. And you kind of get it, right? Not meaning like his individual performances, but think about the teams he played for. He got there in 95, 96, and then in 98, 99, I don't know what they did the year following the title. I guess it would have been Tubby's second season. So he played 2 years for Rick, or was it 2 years for Rick? Yeah, 95, 96, 96, 97, and then he played his last 2 years under Tubby. I mean, two titles and one championship game in between from 95 to 97. I mean, and he, again, I don't know what his stats were, but he obviously played, so...
Boy, if they could have won that game in 97, they would be the only team to win three in a row since Wooden.
Yep.
That would have been something else.
And if you're a Louisville fan and you're my age, I want to see if you're with me on this, because that's the first game where I watched Kentucky lose and I felt like I'm happy that happened. First time ever that I was like, because I always knew I didn't like them, and I wasn't supposed to like them because they're the rival, and I'm a big Louisville fan. I grew up, I was raised to be a Louisville fan. But I'm also willing to say, as a kid, you're more enamored by stars, right? And those mid-90s teams that Rick had, despite me being a Louisville fan, I thought those teams were cool as hell. Walter McCarty, Antoine Walker, the other names we've mentioned, Mercer, Anderson, Tony Delk was lights out. I bought a Tony Delk jersey when he played for the Hornets. Like, that doesn't make me a bad fan. Like, I was a kid. I was young. And I think even if you are a fan like myself, you have to admit, even though we wanted them to lose, they were rock stars. They were the rock stars of college basketball. That run that Rick had at the end of his Kentucky heyday was unbelievable. Even if you're a Louisville fan, not to say you rooted for it, but like it was hard not to at least say, yeah, it's unbelievable what they're doing right now. But they wore those ugly denim jerseys.
Tony Delk was great.
Tony Delk, man, lights out when he got open. He's one of those random 50-point NBA scorers. I think we've talked about this before. There are a few guys that, like, you would never guess ended up putting up 50 points in a game. He's on that list because he had a fine career, but, like, I don't think he ever averaged more than double figures. But one night with the Suns, he had a 50-piece. I think he's working for the SEC Network now. So this has turned into the Big Blue Zone as we're reminiscing on the great era that was Rick Pitino. But I have no problem in admitting it. I thought those 90s teams, I wanted them to lose. When they won in 1998, did they beat Utah? I think it was. I was mad.
Yeah.
Because I knew I didn't want them to win. And that team didn't, you know, I'll give Tubby some credit. Yes, everybody can claim he won with Rick's players, which is true. But that team, that 98 team was not nearly as loaded as the 96 and 97. Am I wrong? I mean, they had good players, but look, I'm looking it up. The 1998 Kentucky basketball roster, their leading scorer was Jeff Shepherd. They had Nazi Muhammad. Scott Padgett was a good player. Wayne Turner. So, yeah, they had some – I mean, Saul Smith played on that team. So they had – I mean, again, this is not a shot at any of these guys. But, yeah, that team, Allen Edwards, Hashimu Evans, I feel like that's kind of an improbable title team. It sounds very much like a Tubby team. But, yeah, that team compared to 96 when they won it, they had Delk, Walker, McCarty, Anderson, Mercer, Mark Pope, who played in the league for a while, Anthony Epps, Jeff Shepherd, Turner, Edwards, and then a lot of the names we've already talked about that, of course, were there on both those teams. And then 97, Mercer, and a lot of the same thing. I mean, they really brought back a lot of that. But, yeah, looking at it, there's no doubt the 96 team had the most stars. I forgot that Walker and McCarty were already gone by 97. It's the Big Blue Zone.
Welcome in.
Welcome in. Hit it. The headlines are next. Stick around. I'm laughing because I hope you guys are in on us just having some fun. But it also is kind of fun to me to know that that makes people very angry when we do that.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
All right, so Tony Vannetti joined in on the debate earlier, from earlier. He says Winston Bennett's the one that stands out because apparently when Winston Bennett stood up to announce or announced his decision at Male High School, people threw things at him because they were so mad he picked Kentucky over Louisville. So if that's true, could just be a tall tale from Tony, but if that's true, then that may be one of the biggest. All right, let's get to it. Time for the headlines.
It's time for the Fast Five headlines with the marvelous Matt Allen.
Number one.
I don't know why you would assume anything out of Tony's mouth is a tall tale. That never happens.
Never?
He never exaggerates the truth, ever.
Not, I mean, even if it might make a story sound good, he wouldn't exaggerate.
No, he would never do that.
Yeah.
In a million years.
Not only to make a story better, he wouldn't.
No. He wouldn't do it for any reason. Tony tells 100% of the... He's like almost boring to the point
of telling
the truth.
Take it to the bank, right?
Yeah. From the...
I've distracted you by just thinking about him ever fibbing about anything.
Of course. That's
Sorry.
Ridiculous.
Unprofessional of me.
From the Set It Up Again department, more NBA on the schedule for tonight. But after last night, you mentioned this earlier... Jalen Brunson, Maxi Kleber, and the Dallas Mavericks got even in their first round series with a bunch of threes. Brunson scored a career high 41. They only had three turnovers, too, by the way. And the Mavs beat the Jazz 110-104, all without Luka Doncic. Pretty good night for the Jazz, however, or for the Mavs. However, they will be heading to Utah for Game 3 on Thursday night, where Dallas has lost 11 in a row at Utah. That's a lot in a row. But nonetheless, I don't know if this doesn't say whether they'll still be without Luka, but if they're without Luka and they've lost 11 in a row straight in Utah, you would have to think maybe you like Utah there. But for tonight, three more games on the schedule. Starts with the Hawks and the Heat. Easy win for the Heat on TNT at 7:30. Your NBA TV game of the night is the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, and then the other one seed from the West, it's Suns Pelicans at 10 on TNT.
You don't need to stay up and watch that one.
You don't really need to watch any of these.
Now the I mentioned the Jazz earlier, really struggling, and they now need to get one in Dallas to win the series. But with that said, they do have a really big home court advantage in Utah, so. Maybe they go back and get right and then can come back to Dallas and steal one. But I don't
they
like
They did get one in Dallas.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. I'm sorry. Yeah, so they technically already have the home court advantage.
Correct.
I'm sorry. So they can win out at home and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, with Luka back, it's going to be more difficult. But they do have – I mean, they're one of the select few teams that I just think, like, man, it's different when they got a home playoff game. Number two. I'm still so distracted for just thinking that Vannetti might stretch the truth a little bit. It's just – throwing us off here.
From the first-time, long-time department, Boston Celtics guard Marcus Smart named NBA Defensive Player of the Year yesterday, according to the league. It's the first Defensive Player of the Year for Smart, who is, I did not realize this, the first guard to take home the award since Gary Payton in 1996?
Did that blow your mind like it did mine?
It did. I can't believe a guard hasn't won it in 26 years. That's a long time. He did receive 257 points, which is 37 first place votes, well ahead of Mikal Bridges, who got 22 first place votes, and also ahead of Rudy Gobert, who got 12 first place votes. But there you go. He ended the Smart ended the season seventh in the NBA in steals per game for a Celtics team that led the league in defensive rating and points allowed. So there you go.
Am I the only one who, when I think of Gary Payton being the being the glove, I now only think of Michael Jordan in The Last Dance?
Oh, right.
When he couldn't contain his laughter when they showed him on an iPad what Gary Payton said about locking his ass up. I got up in him. I was just so great. And then he made some kind of mocking comment about, like, the glove. Number three. That became a meme, right?
I think so. From the Money Everywhere department, Denzel Ward is now your highest NFL cornerback. He agreed to the five-year, $100 million extension with the Browns yesterday, according to Schefty. That's Schefty. The deal is $71 million guaranteed. He's now set to earn an average of $20 million a year, which makes him, as I said, the highest paid cornerback in NFL
history.
Guys
getting paid, man.
Narrowly beating out the Rams' Jalen Ramsey, who earns $20 million next season. He was it's his fourth season in the league with the Browns, who took him fourth overall in 2018 out of Ohio State.
Call me the money!
Guys are getting rich, man.
Definitely.
All positions getting the bag. Mm-hmm. Before.
From the Another Good Start department, we talked to you about Stephen Kwan and his insane on-base percentage to start the year for the Cleveland Guardians. I believe he reached in, what was it, something like, 10 of his first, what was he? He was 10 of 14 with like 7 walks. So 17 of 21 in his first 21 plate appearances. He had reached base 17 times. Stephen Kwan, by the way, since then has gone 0 for 11 and walked once. So as baseball does,
all good things come to an end.
Guys cool off. But another great start for Seiya Suzuki of the Chicago Cubs is still going on. In a 4-2 win over the Rays last night, Suzuki found his way on base 3 more times at Wrigley Field, and the rookie for the Cubs is making history all over the place. He's got a 9-game hitting streak. It's the longest for a Cubs batter to start a major league career since Andy Pafko had 9-game run for the Cubs in 1943. It's also the tied for the longest hitting streak to begin an MLB career for a Japanese-born player since Akinori Iwamura. Since in the 2007 season for the Rays. And he also joins Art Williams, Hal Jeffcoat, and Tony Taylor as the only Cubs since 1901 to have a 10-game on-base streak to begin a career. So another hot start for your National League Player of the Week, Seiya Suzuki.
Go baseball. Number five. I got five
on it. From the viewing pleasure department, I guess. On June 1st, we'll see if Nick's going to watch this. I don't recall him saying he watched much of the others. But the world of football and golf will collide again.
Oh, God.
The Match 2022. Have you heard the lineup?
I know Mahomes is a part of it, right?
Yep. This time around, there's no golfers in it.
Really?
So, no. This time around,
who would watch?
The two teams, it's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. It's all quarterbacks this time.
Well, they don't have Peyton, so I'm not watching.
Okay, well, there you go.
He's the only entertainer of those four. You know him, right?
But I'm assuming it will be on Turner. This is from Turner Sports, the release, but it's June 1st.
Get Aaron Rodgers the hell out of here.
And those four quarterbacks will be laying it all on the line. So far, they've raised like a millions and millions of dollars for charity, but this doesn't seem like.
I thought the intrigue was that you're seeing pro athletes of other sports play alongside
great golfers.
Yeah, like I thought that. I mean, even that doesn't do it much for me.
Yeah,
but I thought that was the angle. I found Jordan talking about Gary Payton.
Man, bang, it took a toll on my. It took a toll, and then resting him a little bit, and then the series changed. And I wish I could have did it earlier. I don't know if the outcome would have been different, but. It was a difference.
And beating him down. The visual is the best part. I'm sorry. Are you good?
The glove. I had no problem with the glove.
That sucks for Gary Payton. I mean, people remember him as a good player, but like that was so embarrassing. Michael Jordan doesn't say that about many people. He doesn't talk about that kind of stuff, but he just couldn't contain his laughter that the glove said, I wish I had got physical with him early on in the series. I'm sorry.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
I would keep your eyes out on Twitter today if you are somebody that follows recruiting, because there's belief that Devin Ree could end up being the first commitment for Kenny Payne in the high school ranks. He is a four-star wing who visited this past weekend, is also still considering Auburn, and I believe there's some other schools, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But again, there's belief that he may make a decision soon, and if that's the case, Louisville appears to be in really good shape. So, I'm hopeful that tomorrow we find out, or by tomorrow when we start the show tomorrow morning, that we find out if Louisville is going to pursue these latest guards that have entered the portal. We talked about them earlier within the show. You've got Uri Collins, who entered the portal yesterday. He's a point guard from St. Louis. And then the other one is Iowa State point guard, his name is Tyrese Hunter, who is, probably going to end up being the number one. When they update these rankings as far as best players available in the portal, I think Hunter may end up towards the top now as far as guys who haven't committed yet. All right, you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Have a good one. We're back at it tomorrow morning. Make sure you check out the podcast. If you missed anything on today's show, you can find it on the iHeartRadio app, also at 790KRD.com. Talk to you tomorrow right here on 790KRD.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.